It's just about 5 minutes after 8 o'clock on what's going to be a beautiful Thursday morning here in Laguna Beach. And every Thursday morning, we enjoy a conversation with the mayor, Bob Whalen. It normally happens at 8:30, but we've got him a little early today. I was excited and couldn't wait to talk to the mayor today. Welcome, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for stepping in today.
Thank you, Ed. Good to speak with you again. I know we had a couple weeks off here. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to be back, and your timing could not be better with just this insane election for president and elections across the country and certainly here in California, a lot of contested elections. Allow me to congratulate you, first of all, on your reelection to the council.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very gratified to have the support of the people for another term, and I'll work hard at it. I always take it as a big responsibility. So, thank you very much. Yeah,
we know that you will. And with everyone that ran for council, and I'll just say this: that all five of the gentlemen, all five of you, I know that all five of you care about this community. You ran against very decent and smart people, and George Weiss will move along into the council with you. So I'm curious as to the makeup of the council. There's going to be a lot of strong personalities with very differing views on how to move forward. And I'm sure we're going to see some colorful exchanges. But I know that you personally, I know that you want to take care of business. Are you concerned that your role is going to be more of a boxing ref and you'll have to be you'll have to separate the boxers?
I'm not too concerned about that, really. You know, I think we talked during the campaign about a couple of the issues that came up were civility on council. And, you know, I know that's something George is concerned about. And, you know, we'll have, I'm confident we'll be able to work together and move ahead and tackle a lot of the issues we need to tackle. So, I'm not too worried about that. Really, Ed, we're going to, you know, as you say, it was an interesting election. That's the third time I've been through. And, you know, I think there were five strong, good candidates. And in the past elections I've been in, there's always been a couple of marginal candidates, if you might want to put it that way, who, you know, weren't quite in the you knew weren't quite going to make it, but this was a race.
Right. In the past, we have had some candidates that ran for council that just weren't up to the task. And here you had five very caring, very decent and smart people running. So it was refreshing. It was refreshing. And one of the items we want to tackle is parking here in town. And I know you've been talking about this for a while. How do you envision a perfect parking scenario moving forward?
I don't know if there's a perfect parking scenario, but we did all talk about it a lot during the campaign. And I think there was pretty strong consensus that, you know, we need a comprehensive parking plan, not just for City Hall or downtown, but throughout the community. Recognition that particularly this summer, and, you know, maybe it was pandemic driven, but really it's, you know, it's bad every summer. It just went to sort of a new level this summer. The impact on the neighborhoods is so dramatic that, you know, if we could get more parking down near PCH to alleviate some of the beach crowds going up into the neighborhoods, that would be good. And that means, you know, parking in the HIP district, parking in South Laguna. And it's a challenge, right, because we don't own property. We do own a site now down in South Laguna, but the city doesn't have a lot of sites. So to me, that means, you know, maybe some trying to work on a private, public-private partnership basis with some potential sites, you know, where we could, maybe the city could, you know, finance the cost of construction and they could contribute the land and we sort of partner together. But it's going to be an interesting task, challenging task.
Okay. And part of that challenge, I guess, as you mentioned, would be the incentivizing for a private property owner to do this. And will it become a negotiation where some property owners might want more than the city would be willing or able to give?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some that you just say, okay, it looks like we can't, you know, there's not a match here. There's not a good deal. But, you know, some of the things that, and I mentioned during the campaign, in my mind, a couple locations, one in the Hip District in particular, if you could, there are some potential locations there where maybe you say, hey, let's put some underground parking here and maybe up above, you know, you put some, rental units or senior housing, then you begin to make the property more attractive to an owner, right? Because there's more income potential there. So, and some of it may be simpler. Some of it may be just, you know, surface parking that we maybe even lease long term at an attractive rate or something. So we just got to get after it.
Right. And if you were to think of a number in your head of parking spaces that we want to add, what's that number? What is that number?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't know. I'd really be speculating. I mean, I think the idea would be, you know, one of the concepts would be, okay, if you go to a neighborhood, let's say you go to the South Laguna because it's more kind of defined, and you say, okay, how many parking spots are there up here in the public neighborhoods? And because what you're doing ultimately here is you're going to Coastal Commission, right, to sell a concept. And you say, well, if we've got 300 parking places up here in the neighborhood, you know, maybe we can replace half of those and you'll allow us some restriction on neighborhood parking. But we're going to have to do that kind of detailed analysis, Ed, through, in my mind, up and down through the community. But it's, you know, probably in the hundreds.
Right, right. And you mentioned the Coastal Commission. Let's say you have to do that detailed analysis. Is that something that we, the city, would pay for and then present to Coastal? Or is that something that we present to Coastal and then they pay for the analysis?
They will not pay for the analysis. But I think what you do is you go, before you spend a lot of money, right, you go and try to sell them on the concept. So you say, hey, look, if we are able to locate more parking down near PCH for beachgoers and then, you know, provide them the shuttle like we, the trolleys like we normally do, will you allow us to put some, you know, reasonable restrictions on neighborhood parking? Maybe it's, you know, Tony's mentioned, maybe it's, it's 3 hour, 2-3 hour maximum parking during the day. So you're not there all day.
Right.
Maybe it's summertime, you know, resident parking only. So, right. So you got to go to them and talk about the concept. And then before you spend a whole bunch of money and see if they say, yeah, that sounds reasonable. Why don't you put something together? Then we'd go, you know, we'd go try to put the plan together.
Right. I have a feeling that no matter how this ends up rolling out, that we're going to end up hiring more parking enforcement for something like that as well. We're going to have to be spending money on more parking enforcement officers and cars and stuff like that.
Well, I think we're going to have to, and I've talked with city staff a little bit here after the election. I think we're going to have to put together, a sort of a mid-year budget will afford an opportunity to do this, to look at a comprehensive, sort of beach management plan. We've got, you know, the beach patrol aspect of it. We heard a lot from neighborhoods and beaches, you know, South Laguna, Victoria Beach, neighborhood up behind Lang Park. And I think what we're going to have to do as a council is sit down and say, okay, what resources do we need to consider adding here to the extent we can? We've got a challenged budget right now, but, you know, can we reallocate? Can we develop sort of a more robust beach management plan or crowd management plan, whatever you want to call it. So more parking enforcement would definitely be a piece of that. We've also got Council Member Kemp is bringing to the agenda, I think, in December. You know, we've got simple things, right? We've got an ordinance here in town where we currently can't ban parking on corners. So we're gonna take a look at that and say, well, shouldn't we, you know, be red curbing a lot more corners in town because it's you know, people park on corners and you can't get through the neighborhoods.
Right.
So simple stuff too can help.
Right. There's some spots in South Laguna where if somebody parks on a corner, you can't make a right turn. You really can't.
Exactly.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you've been watching and as America's been watching the presidential election, we're seeing razor thin margins in Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia and Nevada, all still up for grabs and razor thin here. In our 48th congressional district, another razor-thin margin between Michelle Steele and Harley Ruda. I need you to put your political analyst hat on for me. Is this definitely headed to a recount and eventually into court? Is that what we're seeing in the 48th congressional district?
Well, there's still more votes to count. The registrar has until December 3rd to certify the results of the election. Every day at 5 o'clock, and if people are interested, you go to ocvote.com. Every day at 5 o'clock, we'll be on the dot. In fact, they have a countdown clock there. They'll post new results for the day. So we're going to continue to see more votes posted. My recollection is that Harley was behind, election night, a couple days after, in 2018, and then, pulled ahead by the time of the final count. So, if that's true again, I don't know. But if that's true again, that the, later ballots are break more in the Democratic direction, he may be able to pull past Supervisor Steele. But I don't know. That one is razor thin, as you say. It's a different candidate than he had in 2018 because she's obviously well-known as a county supervisor. So it's, I think if it were this close, I wouldn't be surprised. If it were this close in the end,
right,
certainly wouldn't be surprised to see a recount.
Right. From either side wanting it, whichever side comes up short. As you're watching the presidential returns come in, as you're watching these razor thin margins across the country, do you find yourself sitting at home being a political analyst and setting up different scenarios yourself?
Well, I think we all know the various scenarios now because they've played them out for us a million times. It's down to just the key states, Nevada, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia. I think I've played the game as well. A couple things, though, that I'm really impressed with when you think about it and all the concern that was, going into it, as a country, we did a great job, right, conducting this election. Yeah. And, no violence. People got to the polls. The ballots are being counted. And that's how it's supposed to work. Right. And I think it's great for us as a country to have been able to do that. Now we're clearly a deeply, deeply divided country. And whoever ends up being president, we've all got the one we're pulling for. But needs to find a way to govern the country, the whole country, and unite the country. And it's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And one more political analyst question, if I may, the very first responsibility of whoever wins the presidency, I've been saying for several days, the first responsibility is to get COVID under control. What do you think is the first, other than trying to unite the country, and that takes time, what's the first responsibility of a new administration?
Well, I do think, getting COVID under control is key, because really what's interesting, and I think what broke down is, only about 20%, I saw one poll, only about 20% on an exit poll of the voters put COVID, the pandemic, as their number one issue. The economy was the number one issue for the most people. I think that was, that was higher than the pandemic. But the two go hand in hand, and we've talked about this for months. If you get the pandemic under control, the economy is going to be more open and more robust and coming back. So I think still, focus on the pandemic. We've got over 200,000 Americans who have died. That's, tragic. Focus on the pandemic, and you're going to get, a twofer. cheaper. You're going to get the economy going as well. Right. So that's what I would do.
Right. Agreed. Okay. So as we watch the election returns come in, I've been saying that election day is like every major sport championship happening on the same day. It's like the Super Bowl, Game 7 of the NBA Finals, the World Series, the World Cup Final. That's pretty much the excitement. Did you feel the same excitement on this, your third election, than you did your first?
Not quite the same. I mean, this was a different election, right? You're sitting at home. You're by yourself with your family. You're not down with a group of people at some local restaurant or location where you're having some fun cheering. So it wasn't quite the same, but it's always you never know until those first results go up. How it's all going to shake out. So. You certainly never get complacent about it. I don't, anyway. But it was great to have the support of the community again, as I said. And I look forward to working with the new council. And we've got, as always, Ed, we've got lots of issues here to work on in our community and keep it as beautiful and as great as it is.
Yeah, we do. And we certainly have confidence in you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, again, congratulations on the re-election. And we appreciate your public service.
Thank you very much. Great to talk with you, as always.
Always great to talk to you. Mayor Bob Whalen, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.